Welcome into the Randall House Equipping Series. We're talking about evangelism, and this is Session 7. Last time we were together, we were talking about a guided conversation, how to talk to people about the Lord Jesus, how to share the gospel in an organized way, in a systematic way, not by way of a canned presentation, but by having hooks in our minds so that we cover the things that need to be covered when we share the gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to continue today to talk about having conversations with people about the gospel. And I want to talk about another approach to a guided conversation. The last time we talked about it, I think it was a pretty natural way to go about it, and today is no different. And just trying to give you a few practical helps. I think there's some other things we'll talk about in the next broadcast or two, the next lesson, I should say. Again, I just want to stay on this issue of the conversation for a little bit longer. What I want to do is give you a little bit of a general dynamic, looking at it from the 30,000-foot view, as it were, and then give you this other means of approaching a guided conversation. But, you know, we're talking about sharing the Lord Jesus with anybody we meet. A lot of the time we know it's more difficult to talk about Christ with our family members, perhaps, maybe extended family. It's more difficult to talk about Christ with our friends, but we know we need to do that. And so maybe this is something that will be helpful in this particular area. So for whatever the reason, you find it difficult to share the gospel, maybe with your friends, maybe it's a new friend, an acquaintance, you don't want to come across as harsh, whatever the case may be, but you know you need to. All right, here's the first thing you need to do. You need to pray and keep on praying. All right, I can't stress that enough. You need to start with prayer. Obviously, when you pray, that gets God in on the situation. You know, God knows your heart. God answers prayer. God wants you to share the gospel. And, you know, so often prayer is sort of the last resort, but it needs to be the first resort. It needs to be the first thing that we look to. And we know that God is the one who's got to give you boldness. We know that God has got to open the door of opportunity. God is the one who changes hearts. He's the one that produces the new birth. So prayer is absolutely essential. And the reality is you shouldn't really expect any kind of success without prayer, because we can't do God's work, God's way, for God's glory if God's not in on the equation, if God's not in on it. And so we just want to pray. And I think the more you pray, the more God gives you a heart for people, the more you see the opportunities that perhaps you missed. I remember not very long ago, I've got an acquaintance. I won't say who, I won't give you all the details, but I've got an acquaintance. I've known him for a number of years, and I've been a good witness in my life, but I haven't really shared the gospel, just haven't felt like I've had that opportunity. And a lot of that is my fault, just to be honest with you. I've had opportunity, but I haven't taken advantage of it. And so I started praying about it. I said, you know, Lord, forgive me, and Lord, help me, and all the rest. And I really want to share Christ with this individual. I shared a little bit. I mean, it's not like I haven't shared it all, but I really haven't directly, overtly gone through the entire gospel. Not that you can go through the entire Bible, but you know what I'm saying. So, again, I started praying about it, and literally, I'm going to say within a week, maybe 2 weeks at the most, all of a sudden, providentially, I found myself unexpectedly with this individual, and the door was just open wide, and, you know, it was almost as if I heard the voice from heaven. Now, obviously, I didn't. You know, God's not giving direct revelation, but figuratively speaking, and so thankfully, I went through that door, and I was able to share the gospel with this individual. And now I'm praying for another opportunity. I mean, he said he understood it, said he received it, but, you know, you want to know as best you can. But the point that I'm making is prayer. That's the real issue. So, again, we're looking at the 30,000-foot level. I don't want to camp out on these things. But if you find that you want to share the gospel and you're just having a hard time, start with prayer. Start with prayer. Pray and keep on praying. Secondly, you need to take advantage of easy opportunities. Now, what do I mean by that? Take advantage of easy opportunities. Well, it's a little easier to talk to someone about the Lord if they're asking questions. Maybe they're asking questions about the Bible. Maybe they're asking questions about religion, or maybe they're asking, you know, about your faith, your church, or you're just talking in general. Maybe they're asking, you know, ultimate questions or ultimate issues. You're just having a conversation. Well, obviously, right there, you've got an open invitation. If you're talking about religious things anywhere in the ballpark, you've got an open invitation at that particular point to give biblical answers, to give real answers to the issues that you're talking about, real answers connected to the gospel. So don't hesitate. Don't compromise. Don't be fearful. Don't, you know, keep it to yourself. That's what we do. When we lack boldness, we keep things to ourselves. And so, again, you don't want to be harsh. You don't want to, you know, speak in an offensive way. The gospel might be offensive, but you don't want to be offensive. But just go ahead and give them what they need. They need the Lord Jesus. You know it. God knows it. There's an opportunity to share the gospel. There's an open door, and that's what we're talking about. So take advantage of those easy opportunities. And speaking of doors, the next thing I would say is look for doors to gently push on. Look for doors to gently push on. You know, you're talking to somebody, maybe they seem content with where they are, or maybe they don't have any questions. You know, you're not really talking about religious things per se. Sometimes things seem to be going pretty well for certain individuals. Life is good, and they don't think that they need anything. They've got it all together. And so the reality is, obviously, we live in a fallen world, and no one's life is perfect. And so sometimes you've got to look for doors to push on. Now, I'm not talking about kicking in a door. I remember I was listening to some lectures on evangelism a number of years ago, and the individual teaching, you know, was talking about knocking on doors, and I'm talking about a literal door there, you know, when somebody opens the door and they say they're not interested and they begin to close the door, and he said, you stick your foot in the door. Well, that is not a biblical approach. But he'd stick his foot in the door and he'd try to push his way in, and they'd object, and he'd say, you know, well, can I at least just come in and pray with you? I don't want to take up your time, but I just want to pray over your family. And so, you know, there's a lot of the people would say, well, sure, come on in, you know, just like get rid of this guy. And so he'd start praying, and he'd pray the gospel. Well, a lot of folks think that's bold, that's, you know, wow, he's courageous, and he's being obedient to God. Listen, you don't want to force your way into somebody's life. The Lord Jesus didn't do that. It's not that we're not bold. It's not that we don't try to open doors, figuratively speaking, but, you know, you literally push on somebody's door, and then you lie to them. I mean, that's what he did. He said, I'm not going to take too much of your time. Just want to pray for it. He starts sharing the gospel in his prayer. That's dishonest. We don't need to do that to advance the gospel. But, we can look for doors to gently push on. And I mean that in a figurative way. So, what kind of doors? Well, let's say, you know, your friend is having a hard time. They say that. Maybe they're having a hard time, you know, with a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever the case may be. So there's a door. You know, you just probe that a little bit. Don't kick it in, like I say, but push on it gently. Find a way to give some biblical wisdom. You're just sharing the Word of God. And once you're into a conversation, obviously it's going to be natural to get to this person's greatest need, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you're into the gospel. So maybe you know someone, and, you know, maybe you're in college, and your roommate or a friend has done something that he or she regrets. Well, there's a door. You know, perhaps you've got a loved one or a distant relative. You know, maybe something's happened. Maybe someone's getting older, someone's sick. Well, there's a natural moment to talk about eternal things. So any number of situations can be turned into opportunities. That's what we're saying. Someone's had a bad date. somebody's frustrated, you know, at work. Somebody's, you know, worried about the rent. You get the idea. Just any of these things, you're looking for an opportunity and you want to push on that door just a little bit. You want to turn that knob just a little bit to see if God opens the door for a conversation where you can talk to them about the things of God. That's all we're doing. We're being witnesses. We're being faithful witnesses. We're trying to help. It's not a manipulative thing. It's not gimmickry. We're not, again, as I've said many, many times, we're not trying to put a notch in our gun belt. We're not being fake. We're trying to figure out a way to give people what they really need because we love them. It's not just not only a notch on our gun belt. It's not a spiritual exercise. It's not just a duty to perform. You know, you got to have a genuine heart for God, a genuine heart for people. If you have a genuine heart for people, you want to talk to them about the Lord. You're trying to help them out of love. That's the issue. So you want to pray and keep on praying. You want to take advantage of easy opportunities. You want to look for doors to gently push on. And again, we're still looking at this 30,000 foot level. These are general dynamics. This is how you're to, kind of operate in life. You know, prayer, taking advantage of easy opportunities, pushing on that door, and then I would say be a person of wisdom. Someone put it this way, be a sage. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, you got to be in the scriptures. You got to be in the word. You got to be knowing God personally more and more every day, knowing about God more and more every day, knowing what the Bible says, applying it to your own heart, growing in grace, gleaning more and more knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And then as you pray and as you're growing in that way, well, you're going to know God more, and you're going to know how to communicate God more. And so then whether you're in, your place of work or your community, or maybe you're hanging out with some folk at the coffee shop, you become known as the one who has solid advice. You become the one who can give good, solid wisdom, good, solid counsel, biblical counsel. I'm not talking about being a know-it-all. You don't want to monopolize every conversation. You don't want to drone on and on. People hate that. They don't like people who come across as know-it-alls and people who are, in fact, know-it-alls, as it were. You don't want to talk too much. Scripture has a lot to say about that. You don't want to be prideful or arrogant. But I do want you to be wise and exercise that wisdom. I'm saying be the one to give a word fitly spoken. Proverbs 25:11. You want to be the one who says the right thing at the right time. Again, know your Bible. Know how practical it is. Know that it speaks to every situation in life. You know, not just the truncated gospel that we hear so often. You know, 4 points in a prayer. That's not what we're talking about. Genuinely talk to people about what's going on in their lives, but come at it from a biblical worldview, biblical wisdom. Take a course in theology if you have to. Take a course in biblical counseling to apply the theology to your hearts if you need to. And then be ready. Be the one person that others know they can come to when they've got a problem. If they know you love them, if they know you have wisdom, then they'll come to you, and that makes it easier to share the gospel. And that's what we're talking about, sharing the gospel in every area of life, in every situation possible. There's some situations where it's not possible. But there are many, many situations where indeed it is possible, and so often we just don't. Well, we need to be that person, but we need to take advantage of, just to use one of the points again, we take advantage of those easy opportunities. And when someone comes to you for help, you got to be ready. That's an easy opportunity. So beyond that, now let's talk a little bit about another guided conversation. I said, you know, we would do this, and again, the last session, we talked about the acronym GRACE, GRACE. Well, I want to give you another acronym this time, and it's a little bit different. Now, that one, you know, you're talking about gospel hooks. You're talking about things you need to cover, but this is a little bit different. And frankly, you don't need the acronym here. You just don't. But I'm going to give it to you anyway. Some people like it. Again, it's not a gimmick. It's just an easy way to help you remember what we're talking about. And my acronym here is the word causes. You know, like we have a cause or we have many causes. Well, Christians have two great causes. And that's a way to help you remember what we're talking about. I mean, the first great cause is the glory of God, right? Remember, we talked in session one about biblical evangelism, God-centered evangelism rather than man-centered evangelism. And our great cause is love for God and concern for His glory. And then our other great cause is love for others and concern for their good. So our two great causes, God's glory and the good of others. The glory of God, the good of others, if I could just put it that way. So causes, C-A-U-S-E-S. Well, that's a little acronym. And what we're talking about, again, is having a conversation in evangelism. And again, you know, you have conversations with people all the time. And sometimes it's not necessarily the right moment or the right time to share the gospel, but sometimes it is. Let's say you're talking about a current event, for example. So there's your first word. There's your first hook, you know, causes. C, current events. You're talking about a current event. Just something that you and whoever you're talking to find interesting. Could be a news item. It could be a trend in our culture. It could be the recent halftime show, you know, at the Super Bowl. Whatever the case may be, just find something of, you know, interest. You're already talking about it, whatever the case. Well, you know, you're talking, and let's say that when somebody in this conversation gives you an opinion that's not biblical, or they say something that's not biblical, well, you just want to ask them a question. You want to say something like, wow, well, why do you believe that? And what you're doing is segueing from this current event, just a general conversation. Now you're trying to push the conversation in a particular direction. And so, you know, you're going to talk about their source of authority. So authority source. So that's your second letter. Causes. You've got current event, then you've got A, C-A, you've got authority source. So you need to be wise and you need to be sensitive. And again, we're not trying to manipulate people. We can freely talk about anything in general terms, but there are times when God gives you that opportunity. And there are times when you can push on the door a little bit, turn the knob a little bit, and you can create that opportunity. And so you're looking at where they're coming from in terms of their source of authority. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, you know, we all have a worldview. Everybody has a worldview. They look at the world through a particular grid. They look at the world through a particular lens, a particular set of assumptions. Everybody has assumptions about the world they live in. They may not be aware of them. They may not articulate them, but they have those assumptions. You walk into a room, for example, and it's dark. You feel on the wall. You flip a light switch and the light comes on. Well, you're operating on a set of assumptions. When you start to feel on the wall, you're assuming that there's a light switch there because that's the way you understand the world. You assume that when you flip it, a light is going to come on. And usually that happens, but you also assume a lot of things without even being conscious that you're assuming those things. You assume that the structure you're in is wired for electricity. You assume the light bulb is not burned out. You're assuming that electricians have done their job and that they're, you know, they were paid and all the rest. These are all assumptions that go into simply walking into a dark room and reaching for that light switch. And you're assuming that the light is going to help you navigate. Well, we all have a worldview, and in our worldviews, we appeal to authority. In other words, why we believe what we believe, why we have the assumptions that we have. So my source of authority might be my mom or dad. My source of authority might be my spouse. It might be just a person that I follow. My authority source might be myself, but ultimately God is our authority. The Bible is God's revelation of Himself and His revelation of us. And so that which is authoritative in our lives is not just mere opinion. It's not just a feeling. It's not just, man's philosophy. It's not just our favorite pundit or our favorite guru. It's the Lord Jesus and His Word. And so, again, you're trying to be wise, you're trying to be sensitive, but you might ask the question, why? Why do you believe that? And do it in a non-threatening way. And see, most persons, again, they're their own source of authority. And their feelings and their opinions, particularly in our culture, they come from the prevailing winds of culture a lot of the time, but ultimately it's just a hodgepodge of contradictory ideas that they've picked up over the years. They don't really know why they believe what they believe. They just believe it. I mean, there are people, even Christians, but we're not going down that road. We're talking about evangelism. They just believe what they believe. But see, they can be challenged here. They can be challenged on at least two fronts. Initially, you might say, and again, gentle as possible, but let's say they say something and it's not right. Then they give you their you know, why they believe it, and it doesn't make sense. Maybe you probe a little bit further, and all of a sudden they've got contradictory opinions. You just point that out. You might point out that, listen, you hold opinions that are contradictory to one another. I haven't given you an example yet. I'll give you an example in just a moment. But you're holding opinions that are contradictory to one another, and, you know, the problem is, your worldview, your source of authority, it's going to be inconsistent on many, many points. And when you're inconsistent, when you have a worldview that's inconsistent, well, now you're in the realm of intellectual foolishness. And so I guess I'm rambling a little bit, but what I'm talking about is listening, talking, keying in on something that someone says that you know is not right, asking them why they believe that, and then looking for inconsistencies in their worldview. And what you want to do at that point, again, remember, you're trying to guide this conversation. You can then segue into the whole issue of worldview, the whole issue of ultimate questions. So you say something like, well, you know, let me just share this with you, if you don't mind. You know, you've got a worldview here, and you've got an opinion here, and it contradicts another opinion that you hold, and that's because your worldview is, well, it's not the right worldview. Let me just throw this at you. You know, everybody has to wrestle with ultimate questions. Let me just give you four. Where do I come from? Why am I here? How do I live now that I am here? What happens when I die? Right? So you've got a question of origin. Where do I come from? A question of purpose or meaning. Why am I here? A question of ethics. How do I live now that I am here? A question of destiny. What happens when I die? Those are big time questions. Those are ultimate questions. And we've all got to deal with those ultimate questions. And so what you want to do then is share the Christian worldview. Really, you want to contrast the Christian worldview with the prevailing worldviews of our culture. So let me not get too far away from my little acronym, and then I'll tell you what I mean. C, current event. A, authority source. U, ultimate questions. S, share Christian worldview. So let's say someone has an evolutionary worldview or an atheistic worldview or what we might call a scientific worldview. Now, Christians believe in science above all others, and I won't give details on that, but you know what I'm talking about. People who either don't believe in God or they believe in God, but God is not a part of their life. They tip their hat to God, and they're mainly relying on science, maybe. Usually, they're not even relying on that, but they have a naturalistic worldview. They say basically all that we can know, you know, all that we can be certain of is what we can detect with our five senses. You know, what we can see, taste, touch, hear, smell, that kind of thing. We can't really know anything in the spiritual realm. Is there even a spiritual realm? I mean, you're going to deal with all kind of people. But they've got this naturalistic worldview. And so, Let's talk about origin. Where do I come from? Well, you know, it's still in our culture, most people, well, you know, the world says we're here because of a Big Bang. There was nothing, and then there was something. Now, listen to me. We're not just talking about in the beginning there was empty space. There was nothing. That's what they say. And they're right in terms of the material universe. There was a time when there was nothing. And you can't even speak about it in terms of time because time presupposes something. But you understand what I'm saying. So not empty space, not darkness, you know, not dark matter, nothing. And so then they say there was a Big Bang, a random chance accident. Quantum flux, and all of a sudden, everything that is here now came from nothing. Well, you know as well as I, it is scientific law that something cannot come from nothing. Order cannot come from chaos. Life cannot come from non-life. These are impossibilities, and yet, see, here's an example. Yet, when the world tries to tell us these things, something can't come from nothing. Order can't come from chaos. Life can't come from non-life. Yet they tell us the way that we got here is just those things. All right? Something from nothing. Order from chaos. Life from non-life. That is an inconsistency. It is a contradiction in their worldview. That's what I mean by an inconsistency or contradiction, as I've said, in someone's worldview. Well, let's just move along a little bit. So here's that first question. Where do I come from? Where is the random chance accident? You know, there was nothing and now there's something. Well, here's the second question. Well, meaning, why am I here? What's my purpose? What's my raison d'etre? My reason to be? Well, if you're just a random chance accident, then there's no reason for you to be. You're just an accident. So life has no meaning. Life has no purpose. See, here's the problem, though. People don't live that way. And I might be getting ahead of myself, but I'll just throw this in. Everybody lives as if their life has meaning. They try to inject meaning into their lives. You know, they might have a cause. They might have a goal. They're, you know, it might be that what gives their life meaning is charity, or what gives their life meaning is educating others, or what gives their life meaning is making money and being a hedonist. But it has meaning. Or they want to leave a legacy. They want to leave a, you know, dedicate a building in their name. Or maybe even the atheist, he wants to try to convince people that there is no God. Well, that's his purpose. That's his goal. He's injecting meaning in life when the fact is it just doesn't matter if we're just a random chance accident. And see, that leads us to the third ultimate question, well, how do I live now that I'm here? A question of ethics. What's right and what's wrong? Well, there again, if we're just a random chance accident, there is no right. There is no wrong. Doesn't matter. It's basically survival of the fittest. You do whatever floats your boat. And, of course, you're into relativism there. Atheism, naturalism, all of these things lead to relativism. That's just a subset of postmodernism. You know, that's where we are in our culture. So even if you don't think everybody, you know, believes in the Big Bang, people are relativists. That's fine. Doesn't matter. Relativists. My truth may or may not be your truth. Some people think, you know, God is a tiger. Some people think they're God. Some people believe, well, there's no God. There's just nirvana. Or some people believe the God of the God of this religion or that religion. So it doesn't matter. It's just relativism. And so if there is no one true and living God, if there is no one God who created all things, then obviously you can't say what's right, what's wrong. Who defines what's right? It's just a matter of opinion. It's just a matter of feeling. And so I can do what I want. It just doesn't matter. And you can't get upset about others who do their thing because you do your thing. You do you. See, that's the mantra of our culture. But the same culture that says you do you, they get offended, don't they? This culture that we live in is more offended than any culture that I've seen, than any culture that I've studied. Every little thing's a trigger. They're offended so much they want to rule out free speech. They want to rule out freedom of religion, right? Again, I can go down a path. We're talking to people about the gospel. We're talking about evangelism. So, ultimate questions. Where do I come from? Why am I here? How do I live now that I am here? The last question is destiny. Well, if we're just a random chance accident, then, you know, tomorrow we die. There's nothing after that. And see, that's why the Apostle Paul said, if there is no resurrection from the dead, essentially he's saying if the world is right, if there's nothing after this life, then we might as well just eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we die. He's saying, it's not that he's saying we need to have a party lifestyle, though that would certainly fall under what he's saying. But what he's saying is we might as well make ourselves as comfortable as we can because life just has no meaning. And when we die, that's it. Might as well, you know, enjoy it while we can. That's essentially what he's saying. But you and I know that people, as I said a moment ago, they try to inject meaning into life. Well, they can't do it on their worldview. They have to appeal to a Christian worldview in order to do that. They try to say there are things that are right and there are things that are wrong. Well, you can't do that on your worldview. You have to appeal to a Christian worldview in order to say things like that and believe things like that. There has to be a God. There has to be an absolute standard. There has to be objective truth, not subjective truth, not relativistic truth where, well, this is true for me and that's true for you. You know, what if somebody says, well, I believe there is no afterlife. That's true for me. And somebody else says, well, I believe there is an afterlife. Well, that's true for me. Well, one of them is right and one of them is wrong. You've got a dichotomy there. Someone says no afterlife. Someone says there is an afterlife. One's right, one's wrong. Doesn't matter what one of them believes. See, what's true? And it's going to be true for everybody, whether you believe it or not. So the biblical worldview is consistent on all points. And it explains our experience. It explains the reality in which we find ourselves. Where do I come from? Well, God created me. Special creation of God, created the image of God. You go down that road. Why am I here? Well, life has meaning. Life has purpose. It's all wrapped up in God. It's wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. We live to glorify Him. What's my ethic? What's right and what's wrong? Well, it's what God says. God's the one who tells us what's right and wrong, and it flows from His character. It flows from His nature. And what happens when I die? Well, there's the judgment. And if I don't know Christ, then we'll be judged for eternity in a real-life devil's hell, paying for our own sin. But if we know Christ, then we'll have joy in the Lord and we'll be with Him forever and ever. So you share that Christian worldview and you point out along the way the inconsistencies as you're able to a relativistic worldview or an evolutionary naturalistic worldview or whatever worldview they have. And again, you might want to know something about the uniqueness of Christianity. Well, why Christianity and not Buddhism or not Hinduism or not Islam or whatever the case may be? Well, fulfilled prophecy for one thing. No other religion can boast that. Fulfilled prophecy. Jesus claimed to be God. Resurrection from the dead. The miracles. The eyewitness testimony. We could go on. But you know, for me, the bottom line is every single world religion, every single ideology, worldview, every single religion says, other than biblical Christianity, every single religion says man has to do something to make it to God or to heaven, you know, good works. Even if you believe in karma, it's still a system of works. We have to do something to make ourselves right with our view of God. There's only one worldview that says otherwise, that's the biblical worldview, says we can't make ourselves right with God. God did something for us. It's grace. It's not works. It's not religion. It's God sending His own Son to die in our place that we might have life in Him and that we might have fellowship with Him, that we might have joy unspeakable forever at His right hand or pleasures forevermore, and that we might live to serve Him with gladness and glorify Him forever and ever and ever. That's the gospel. Anyway, so causes. current event, authority source, ultimate questions, share Christian worldview, and then examine the current event from authority. Let's see what the Bible says about this current event. That's if you actually get back to the current event. You don't even have to do that. You're sharing the gospel, but you're gonna try to give them an answer. You're having a real conversation, but you can move through that. Here's what the Bible says, and the Bible's right because God is real. But ultimately, then you want to segue into the gospel. So that's your last letter. You know, examine current event from authority source. That's E, and then S, segue into the gospel. And now you're just sharing the Lord Jesus Christ. You can go to grace if you need to. If you don't, yeah, that's fine. You don't even have to use this little outline I'm talking about. All I'm telling you is that, you know, if you're praying, you're going to have opportunities to share the gospel. You're going to have some easy opportunities. You take advantage of those. You need to gently turn that doorknob, push on that door just a little bit. Be a sage. Be a wise individual. Have the answers. Let people come to you. And then as you're just having a conversation with somebody about something that's going on, you know, doesn't matter what it is, they say something that doesn't make sense, challenge them on it and push a little bit. See if you can get into a worldview conversation. You're not trying to show them up. You're not trying to beat them up. You're not trying to be all philosophical and, you know, contemplate your navel or anything like that. Ultimately, you're trying to show them that these things are important, these things matter, and you've got the answer, not because you're so smart, but because God has shown it to you by grace. You're just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. And so you go to the gospel and you pray that God does the work. That's what you do. So we'll wrap it there. We've got some more things to talk about next time. In the meantime, Lord bless.